Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Welcome to Worship Online with First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm Lindsay Hall, one of the clergy that serves at our congregation, and I'm so glad to be worshiping with you this beautiful Sunday morning. Whether you're worshiping from your home or you're worshiping from your office or you're worshiping while you're traveling, wherever you find yourself, I'm glad you've tuned in to worship. Here at First United Methodist Church, we seek to know God and love God and serve God. And one way we do that is through worship. Another is through serving in mission or connecting in small groups. And so I would encourage you to get better connected into the life of our church by visiting our website at www.brightonfumc.org. And as you click on our worship page, you're going to have an opportunity to fill out a connect card. As you fill out that connection card, please indicate which ways you'd like to get better involved. Maybe it's learning more about children and student ministry, mission, small groups, worship, or the like. We would love to get you connected. It's also an opportunity to let us know you were here and share with us any updated contact information. As we're in this time of worship, I would also encourage you to share this on social media. Maybe you're watching on Facebook and you can share this. So that way your friends and neighbors, coworkers, family members might have an opportunity to find a spiritual home if they're seeking for one. We would love to be that. Well, again, welcome to worship this day. It's good to be worshiping with you. And this morning we'll be turning to the gospel message as we're going to be discovering how Jesus calms the storm as he and the disciples are out on the boat. Now, let's begin our time of worship in praise.
Phillips family, and we just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear a little bit more about their story and connection here at the church. So I want to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves as we welcome them here to the chancel area.
Thank you, John. I'm John Phillips.
And I'm Chris, or Kristen Phillips.
And I'm Dan Phillips.
And we joined Brighton First in August of 2003. It sounds funny to say it now, but we moved from Indiana to Michigan because the economy was much better here than it was in Indiana. And I'd gone through a plant closing, and so we had to pick up our family and move. And we were lifelong Methodists, so we looked in the Yellow Pages for the Methodist Church. And frankly, they would have had to have a chain on the door to keep us out because we were coming to a Methodist church. And I remember meeting Rick Patu in the band room at the high school when Dan and I were walking through his schedule prior to his first day at Brighton High. Loretta Job was one that adopted Kristen into the church very early on. And I'd like to say a big thank you to Bob Miller. Bob meant a lot to me and adopted me into Brighton First and, you know, helped me find my way into the small groups that have been such a powerful part of my experience here in Brighton. So thank you to the whole congregation for all the love that you've shown to my family over the last 18 years.
Well, and as John said, we were lifelong Methodists, and before we came, because we had been active in our home church, between John and I, we had been on every committee and served in every capacity that we could for lay people. And so when we came here, we actually had a conversation and said, you know, we need to pull back. We need to just be attenders. We just need to come and sit in the pews, listen to the message, and go home and not be involved. And after about a year of doing that, we really started questioning why we didn't feel like this was our church. And we realized because we were not engaged. And so I would just recommend, once we realized that was the problem, and I would just recommend that, you know, if you're sitting out there thinking, why does this just feel like a building and not like my heart, like church does, I would say find that group. Jump in with both feet. You don't have to serve on a committee if you don't want, but the small groups, the book studies, that's how I got involved. And I found my Michigan family in this church. And I thank you all that have helped me feel that way.
And I just wanted to say thank you to this congregation. For those of you who might not know me, since I'm not here on a regular basis on Sundays, it is because I'm a licensed local pastor. I have been serving churches in the Michigan area for the last 7.5, almost 8 years. And as I think about the way that this church welcomed me into the youth group. Like my dad said, I was in high school and not too happy about making the move at the time. So I was really just looking for a place to belong. And I found that in the youth group. And eventually I found that in the sanctuary. And one thing led to another, and I felt the call to ministry. And so as I hear my parents talk about our lifelong Methodist connections, I know that we'll have those connections on into the future because of this church.
Thank you for those amazing words. And I appreciate hearing, you know, in all of your stories, what this church has meant to you in terms of your spiritual journey and your journey as a family. And we just wanted to give you a chance because We're grieving, and I know that as after 18 years of living in a spot that's become, you know, a home, that there's grief on both sides. But I just wanted to give you guys a chance to share an update with the church about what's going on in your life.
So our oldest son, his wife, and our only grandson have been living in Tucson, Arizona for many years, and they've moved to central Indiana, and the magnetic pull between that grandson and his grandparents is very strong. And I had a conversation with my managers at work, and I said, during this work from home period, what would you think about somebody working from home if home was central Indiana? I explained to them that my selling point was half the people that work for you have a home up north, and one of them is going to have a home down south, so you have a choice to make. And they've accommodated me, and I'll be continuing to work. I'm not retiring yet. I'll be working from central Indiana, and we'll be spending a lot of time with our grandson. We'll miss Brighton very, very much. Our roots are very deep here. We'll probably be watching with you online while we look for our new church home in Indiana.
Amen. Well, thank you. On behalf of this whole church, on behalf of clergy that served here before Lindsay and myself, on behalf of members here who have befriended you and welcomed you into their spaces and their homes and made you a part of their spiritual journey, thank you for your leadership and for your gifts and for your willingness to serve here in the church and allow God to use your gifts to continue to advance the kingdom of God in this place. As a congregation, we celebrate these moments. Even as we grieve, we give thanks for all of the wonderful memories and experiences that you had here, knowing that this is just part of your spiritual journey, but we also send you off, trusting that whatever communities of faith you find yourself in, whether it's, you know, pastoral ministry or continuing in lay leadership, we're grateful for the incredible gifts that God has blessed you with, and we entrust you to God's care wherever you find yourself. So I invite you, if you're watching this service at home, to just extend your hand to the Phillips family as we hold them in prayer. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we celebrate and give thanks for this family. We give thanks for the call that you placed on their lives to not only just be attenders of church, but to also be a part of your leadership. We're grateful for their incredible gifts and for their faith, and for the ways in which they've lived those gifts out in small groups and in committees and in prayer groups and in church leadership. We celebrate that they're moving to Indiana, where they'll be closer to their grandson and to their family. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would watch over them as they make this transition. We pray for whatever community they're able to find their way into, that they would know the incredible blessedness and giftedness of this family. And so we celebrate them and give thanks for their gifts and ministry here, and ask your Holy Spirit to watch over them in this transition. We give thanks for them and celebrate this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lucas Sang, and I'm a junior at Brighton High School. And if you would, please join me in the opening prayer. God of wind and stars and seas, steady our lives with your mighty hand. Assure us of your presence with us in the joys and the storms of life. We may falter and we may suffer, but you are always near. When we are afraid, help us to trust. When we are drowning, give us the tools to swim. When we are afraid and in the dark, be our light. In your name we pray. Amen.
To your God.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark 4:35-41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, friends. It's Arla. And today I have for you a sad song. I don't usually bring you sad songs, but it's the season of Lent, and also we're still in the grips of a pandemic. So if it were ever going to be appropriate to have a sad song, seems like now might be the time. The words for this song come from Psalm 137, regarding when the Jewish people were held captive in Babylon. The tune for this song is from an 18th century English organist named Philip Hayes. So, here's the song. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer and the one who calls us to great faith. Amen. Well, we heard the story today about Jesus and the disciples going across the Sea of Galilee. The scripture says that a whole bunch of folks, crowds, have been gathering around him, and undoubtedly that left Jesus exhausted. We know he was exhausted because he fell asleep inside the boat. the disciples and he had made this decision to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And if you've been joining us for our online studies and for our studies about the book written by Adam Hamilton, The Way, you have probably seen video footage, or you can look up online if you're interested what the Sea of Galilee looks like if you visit it today. Most of us who have lived significant periods of time in the state of Michigan have a different understanding about what a large body of water looks like. But if you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's big enough to be a significant body of water, big enough to appear on a map, but it's no comparison to the Great Lakes. You can see the other side as you look across it. And so you can imagine Jesus getting into the boat with the disciples, who would have undoubtedly, many of them, been extremely familiar with the water. After all, many of them were fishermen before they started following Jesus. So they pile in a boat. Why? Because they wanted to go to the other side, which repeatedly in Scripture becomes this place of refuge for Jesus to go to have some time alone with God, to renew himself, to sustain his ministry, and to prepare himself mentally and spiritually for the road that lied ahead for him in his journey to the cross. And so as we hear this story, all of the disciples pile up into the boat and they get ready to go to the other side. And as they make their way across this body of water, all of a sudden the winds pick up, and you can imagine the waves come after that, and these boats weren't necessarily designed for a whole lot of turbulence. And as the wind blew harder and the waves grew bigger, they began to get afraid. Well, Jesus had cashed out. He was exhausted from teaching these folks over and over again, and he passed out in the boat. And the disciples go to find him, and they wake him up and say, why in the world aren't you paying attention? Aren't you awake? Like, don't you care? The question that they ask in here is a question that I think all of us find ourselves asking at some point in our life. Don't you care if we drowned in this terrible storm that we're in? Sometimes it's easy to find ourselves asking a similar question, and we don't necessarily always feel like we have the benefit of having a physical Jesus, the Son of God, inside the boat with us to be able to rescue us when things don't go according to plan. Most of us in our lives find ourselves sort of reaching up to the heavens, asking why God allowed this particular tragedy to happen to me, why my house was destroyed in a natural disaster, why we lost a child far too soon, why we experience the grief and loss and suffering that comes with disaster, why God didn't show up, why God allowed us to drown in that moment. It's easy to ask that question. It's easy to wrestle with whether or not God is in the boat with us at any particular time when things aren't going according to plan. One of my favorite authors, an author by the name of Frederick Buechner, wrote about this, and I want to read this quote to you because it's been helpful for me over the years. I invite you to hear it. Most of the time, we tend to think of life as a normal kind of thing, I suppose. We are born into it one fine day, given life, and life itself is neither good nor bad except as we make it and by the way we live it. We may make a full life for ourselves or an empty life, but no matter what we make of it, the common view is that life itself, whatever life is, does not care one way or another any more than the ocean cares whether we swim in it or drown in it. In honesty, one has to admit that a great deal of evidence supports such a view. But rightly or wrongly, the Christian faith flatly contradicts it. To say that God is spirit is to say that life does care, and that the life-giving power that life itself comes from is not indifferent as to whether we sink or swim. It wants us to swim. It's easy to feel like life is indifferent at times, particularly when we're in our moments of greatest crisis. The Psalms are filled with stories and poetry about David sort of shaking his hand to God, saying, "Why will you not show up for us? Why are you being indifferent to your people? Why is it that when we cry out, there's no answer?" What I love about our spiritual story and what we find in both the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament is repeated stories of people having crises of faith. And what happens over and over again in Scripture is that God responds in the midst of the crisis. People cry out for God's help, and God, in God's great grace, responds with infinite love and compassion over and over and over again. And no different is in this story. Jesus is woken up, and with the incredible power given to him, he calms the waves of the sea and says to the wind, "Be still," and it happens. It's a lot harder these days when Jesus isn't physically in our boat. And it's probably easy to assume for some of us, whether we exist inside the church or whether or not we've wandered and gone astray, it's easy for us to feel like God isn't in our boat anymore, that the universe is indifferent. I think the closest I've ever been to feeling like that came a couple of years ago when I was up for ordination in the United Methodist Church. I was so excited. I had been commissioned, and some of you have heard me say already that becoming ordained in the United Methodist Church, I think, is a longer process than one would have to go through to become a CIA agent or a member of the Secret Service. For us, it's multiple years of seminary and then a couple of years serving in the local church, and then maybe we're up for ordination. And that process kind of looks like the following. You go before a board of ordained ministry, and they evaluate you on your effectiveness in ministry. The board is made up of several colleagues and lay members of local churches across the state of Michigan. All in all, I think there's something like 26 members of the board of ordained ministry. And I'll never forget, I went before them for ordination. And I interviewed, and they asked me questions about my calling and about my gifts for ministry. And I remember that the day after, they make a phone call and they tell you one of three things. They either tell you, yes, you're approved for ordination, we'll see you at annual conference where the bishop puts the bishop's hands on your head and says that you've been called, that you, in fact, are called to be ordained as a minister in the United Methodist Church. Or they call you and they say, you're not quite yet ready, and we want you to work on some things and come back before us next year. Or they tell you that you're not ready now, and we don't believe that you will be ready, and they just tell you simply no, which is the end of your journey towards ordination in the United Methodist Church. And I remember getting a phone call from one of the folks who was on the Board of Ordained Ministry at the time, and he said, John, we were impressed by your ministry, and we're grateful for all of your gifts, and that's why this is incredibly hard, but we're here to tell you, I'm here to tell you that the board discerned, and we want to encourage you to work on a couple of things before you come back before the board again. And so that's why it's difficult for me to say you're receiving a not yet. And in that moment, I remember thinking the same thing that the disciples were thinking as the storms were raging all around, and these thoughts inside my head, God, where were you? Do you want me to drown in this mess? Do you want me to drown in these turbulent waters? Am I called to this? Am I supposed to be a United Methodist pastor? I remember through many dark nights of the soul and wrestling with my own calling while continuing to serve in the local church, I remember God eventually in the midst of that turbulent time speaking to me a word that came back to me over and over again as I prepared to go back before the Board of Ordained Ministry. And there are words that the Apostle Paul shared with his disciple, if you will, Timothy, person he was mentoring. He said, God began a good work in you, and God will see it through to completion. And I heard those words in my head, that the God who began a good work in me would see it through to completion. It was God's way of saying, peace, be still to the wind and calm down to the waves. And suddenly all of the turbulence that I was experiencing in my own personal boat started to calm down, and I began to see the horizon line once again. I don't know about you, but it's oftentimes when the storm is most turbulent that God's voice can be heard the loudest. And in some ways, that moment where I was experiencing a crisis of my own calling and a crisis of my own faith was when I was able to hear God's voice the loudest. It was in that moment that I could hear God's voice the clearest. Perhaps that's true in your life as well. Sometimes it takes those moments, those storms, that turbulent water, the wind that's blowing and causing all of that turbulence for you to be able to finally let go and rely on God to deliver you through the storm. That's what it took for me. And sure enough, the following year, I went before the Board of Ordained Ministry, and they excitedly called me right after the interview. I barely had to wait any time, it seemed like, and they said, with great joy, honor, and privilege, it's our joy to share with you that you have been approved for full ordination within the United Methodist Church. Sure enough, that same calling that I had heard years ago was not a fluke. It wasn't random. It wasn't wrong. It was affirmed by the Board of Ordained Ministry, and I am able to serve with you here today. We're all on a journey, and there are valleys, and there are moments of great adversity, and there's pain, and there's suffering, and there's adversity. But I'm here to tell you that the universe is not indifferent to all of those things. The universe is not ambivalent about suffering. No, friends, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is still in your boat, that Jesus doesn't abandon you inside the ICU room when you're making the difficult decisions of life and death. Jesus doesn't abandon you when you've lost your job. Jesus isn't absent in your life when you're experiencing the trauma and difficulty and challenges in life. And sometimes, friends, that's when God's miraculous and transformative power can be heard the loudest, when God says, I have never left you or abandoned you. I am on your side. I am with you. I am God with human form, human flesh, and I understand what it means to suffer. I am with you in this boat. And in those moments, it almost doesn't matter whether the waves continue to be turbulent or if the wind continues to blow, even if they don't die down, sometimes just knowing that God is with you is enough, isn't it? John Wesley had this incredible story about one of his journeys between England and the New World, where he had a similar experience and the boat was being rocked left and right. And he found himself sort of questioning, like, God, are you done with me? Is this the end of the road? And he looked over and there was this group of Moravians who had gathered in a prayer circle, and they were singing the hymns of the faith, and they were proclaiming their faith in God, even in the midst of the storm. And Wesley had this small crisis. Or is like, what's wrong with me? I am supposed to be a pastor. I'm supposed to have the faith, but I'm afraid. And these folks over here are showing me the way. They're holding on to the faith even in the midst of the storm. Sure enough, Jesus was on the boat with John Wesley. Jesus was on the boat with me as I worked my way through that crisis in the midst of my ministry and life. Jesus is in the boat with you as you experience the turbulence and the waves and the wind that you experience in day-to-day life. Jesus is still in our boat. And there's nothing in all of the world that can ever be done that will ever change that. So when you need Jesus to calm the storm and to tell the waves to be still and tell the wind to stop blowing, I invite you to join me in a time of prayer, asking God to simply be with us in the boats and in the storms that we experience in life. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we're so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who doesn't abandon us when we're in a storm. In fact, he knows exactly what it's like to have the wind and the waves knock us from left to right and side to side, because he was there. And when the storms of life rage, we pray that we would hear your voice all the clearer, and that we would have the faith and the courage to see that you've never left our side. And God, sometimes that just has to be enough. as we grieve, as we pray, as we shake our hands to the heavens, wondering whether or not you're hearing our prayer, we know that you are. And we trust that you're still in the boat with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. My name's Bruce Stark, and I am your worship host this morning. Our theme this week is calming the storm, and I'd have to say that God has done a great job this week calming our storm since the temperature has been in the 60s and 70s. Hopefully you've had a chance to get out and enjoy some of it, possibly meet some friends and family, and just get out there and enjoy the sunshine. Now, if you would, I ask you to bow your heads and join me in an attitude of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. At this time in our lives, we see things starting to open a little. We look forward to the days when we can greet our friends, visit our families without fear, and enjoy our lives as you meant us to do. We pray that everyone that has suffered during this time finds comfort in knowing that you are there for us. We continue knowing that you are our strength, our hope, and with your love. We know we can turn to you to find our peace, to help ease our minds, and to help calm our storms. Some of the worst storms of our lives can be eased by the knowledge that you are ever there for us, helping us through our storms, giving us the strength to continue on, to keep our ships on an even keel. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all that you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray for all our leaders. We pray that they may find peace with you and based on your teachings, that they may do what's right for everyone. We pray for all of us to learn that when others might fail us, you are always there for us. Help us learn how we can make a difference, what we can do with your help and not depend on others, but for us to do what's needed, guided by your love. You know what's on our hearts, Lord. Help us help others as Jesus taught us. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, and seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is good all the time. Remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Enjoy the rest of the service, and be blessed.
I'm Susan, and this is Kate, and this song is called Who Am I?
Care to feel my hurt.
Of God. Sharing now what we have received in great abundance, we share our tithes and offerings to God through the church with gladness and gratitude. And so whether you choose to go online and give through our online giving at www.brightonfumc.org, or if you mail in a check or drop off your offering during the weekday, we are so very thankful for your generosity and your giving with great joy. We thank you. This morning, we're also taking a special offering in support of UMCOR, which stands for the United Methodist Committee on Relief. UMCOR is committed to supporting in times of natural disaster. Remember last spring in March of 2020 when the great floods hit in the Midland area, UMCOR was able to be responsive to disasters such as that. In times of hurricane or earthquake or tornadoes or flooding, UMCOR is able to support. So this Sunday, March 14th, we also invite you to support our UMCOR offering. If you choose to give, again, you can give online or you can mail in your check to the church with UMCOR written in the memo line. We give you thanks. We give you praise for serving in mission and serving in ministry and being Christ's hands and feet in this world. Thank you for your generosity and giving with great joy.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am fail and fear some
Friends, thank you so much for worshiping online with us today. I want to thank you for being a part of our spiritual community. And as we close our time in worship, I just want to share with you a couple of special announcements. First of all, I can't thank you enough for your incredible generosity. I had the privilege of delivering all of the shoes that were collected for the Whitmore Lake Elementary School over to the school earlier this week, and the social worker there was so grateful for the kindness and generosity and outpouring of support that came from our church. I wanted to share with you that during the season of Lent, we've been collecting soup mixes. And if you'd like to visit our missions page on our website, you can sign up to be a part of this dry soup mix drive that we're doing here at the church. We're trying to put together 800 soup mixes to send out to folks who are food insecure in our community. And we hope that you'll be a part of that mission and ministry. I also want to let you know that during the week of Holy Week, we are going to be opening up the chapel here at the Brighton campus, and we're going to set up prayer stations for people to experience their pilgrimage, this pilgrimage on our way to Easter Sunday. And if you'd like to come visit the Brighton campus anytime during business hours of Holy Week, you'd be welcome to go into the chapel and have this opportunity to pray and center yourself as we move towards Easter Sunday. I want to share with you our worship schedule for Holy Week as we get ready in anticipation of that season coming up. I want to share with you that we'll be having services on Palm Sunday at 9:30 and 11:30 here at the Brighton campus. The 11:30 service will be outside, and I know that's a unique time, but we want to give ourselves enough time to move from the sanctuary at 9:30 outside for 11:30, and that service would have unlimited capacity. As many folks as possible or are interested in attending are welcome to come to our 11:30 service. We don't want you to miss out on our Palm Sunday, which will be outside, weather permitting. In addition to that, we'll have online services at 9:30 and a Whitmore Lake service at 9:30 as well. On Monday, Thursday, we'll be offering drive-through communion at Whitmore Lake between 4 and 5, and at Brighton from 5 to 6. And Monday, Thursday services will take place at Brighton at 7 p.m. and online at 7 p.m. as well. On Good Friday, we'll have a noon service at Whitmore Lake and a Brighton service at 7 p.m. That online service will take place at 7 p.m. as well on Good Friday. And finally, on Easter Sunday, we'll have a service at 7:15 in the Memorial Garden outside here at Brighton. We'll have a 9:30 service here in the sanctuary, and once again, an 11:30 service outside that an unlimited number of people would be welcome to attend the outdoor service at 11:30. We'll have a 9:30 service at Whitmore Lake and a 9:30 service online. All of that information will be posted on our website, and you should be receiving a letter with those pieces of information as well. As we depart from this place, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
To give the strength.